Mishnah lists all the different types of individuals who, if they do a key service, they ruin the service of the sacrifice. A person who doesn't have a bris milah, the last one was mentioned, Arel. So then the Mishnah says a tameh is also possible. If a person is tameh, and he does the kohen is tameh, and he does the service, so he's disqualified from the service. And he disqualifies the service. He disqualifies the carbon. So here we said, we have to remember, there are different types of impurity. There's tumas sheret, that's touching a dead rodent. Touching a dead rodent makes a person impure. He goes to the mikvah, and then that night he becomes tahar. And then there's a much higher level of impurity, tumas meis. If somebody touched a dead body, was in the same room as a dead body, then he's tummy for a week. He has to have the ashes of Parah Aduma sprinkled on him on day 3 and on day 7. Then on day 7, go to the mikvah. And then that night, he becomes pure. So the Mishnah said that a tameh person, he cannot do the service. If he does the service, he ruins the sacrifice. The Torah says about the tzitz. Vayal metzach Aaron. The headband will be on the forehead of Aaron. V'nasa Aaron esavon kadoshim. And Aaron will carry the sin of the sacred sacrifices. That the Jewish people will consecrate with all the gifts of their consecration. It will be on his forehead constantly, as a source of will for them before God. So somehow the Torah says that the tzitz carries a sin. What does it mean it carries a sin? So the Gemara is going to talk about this in today's daf. But we're going to see, I'll just skip to the end. It carries the sin of tumas meis. If the blood of a korban became tameh with tumas meis, and it was still sprinkled on the altar, that korban will work. Maybe you can't eat the korban, but the korban will work. The person will fulfill his obligation because of the tzitz. The tzitz has the power to carry sins, to carry the sins of impurity, to lift up the problem of the sin. So now, in light of some of these introductions, now let's see the Gemara. Amruzik Nedarom, the elders of the south, said the following. When the Mishnah says that someone who is impure, a kohen who is impure, he can't do service. If he does service, he disqualifies the sacrifice. Lo shanu elotame sheretz. That's a reference to impurity through contact with a dead rodent. Avotame meis. But impurity through contact with a dead body, or being in the same room as a dead body, mitoch shemeratza b'tzibur, meratza nami b'yachid. Since if the whole community would be tamei meis, or if a communal sacrifice is tamei meis, or a kohen is tamei meis, and there's a communal sacrifice to bring, we know that tuma hutra b'tzibur, impurity is allowed for the sake of the community. So that's true about tumas meis. So tumas meis is allowed for the sake of the community. So since tumas meis is allowed for the sake of a community, if a kohen is tamei meis and he offers a sacrifice, the sacrifice is not disqualified. The sacrifice is accepted.
Because of the headband?
Yes, exactly, because of the headband. So the Gemara now says, Ihachi, the logic of Ziknei Darom, the elders of the south, is to say, that when the Mishnah speaks about Tameh, it only refers to Tameh Sharet. It doesn't refer to Tameh Meis, because Tameh Meis does not ruin a sacrifice. So, Ihachi, if that's the case, they're using logic. Tameh Sharet's Nami Lesi Bekava Chomer Mi Tameh Meis. Then if you're going to use logic, someone who's impure with the impurity of a dead rodent, certainly, if he offers a sacrifice, the sacrifice should be accepted and use it from logic, from Tameh Meis. What's a worse impurity? An impurity that lasts for 7 days or an impurity for an afternoon? An impurity that requires the ashes of Parah Aduma or an impurity that all you need is to go to the mikvah? Certainly a worse impurity is Tameh Meis. So if Tameh Meis is okay, b'di'eved, once it was done, so Tumas Sheret should certainly be okay once it's done, b'di'eved. So learn it as a Kavah Chomer from Tameh Meis. Ma Tameh Meis, Shaton Azah, Shvish Yushvi. Tameh Meis is a very high level of impurity. You need to sprinkle the ashes of Parah Aduma on day 3 and on day 7. And yet Miratzeh, if it was done, b'di'eved, because of the headband, it's okay, we're saying. So Tameh Sheret, if it's only impure because it touched a dead rodent, rodent. She'eno ton azo shlishu shvi. That's a tumah that doesn't need the ashes of paradum on day 3 and day 7. It's much less. So certainly eno din. So certainly if it's a much less tumah, certainly shemaratza, certainly the headband should wipe it away, should carry it, and if it was done, the carbon should be okay. So according to Ziknei Daram, whenever is gonna, will you have the law of the Mishnah that a tumah disqualifies the carbon? Tamei Meis, you're saying it doesn't do so because Tumah Hutra Mitzibur, so therefore be the Evet also. Tamei Meis be Yachid, it's okay. And Tumah Sheret, certainly, if Tumah Meis be the Evet is okay. Tumah Meis, after the fact, if it's done, it's okay. So Tumah Sheret is lighter, certainly, if that should be done after the fact, should be okay. Answers the Gemara. Kasavri Ziknei Darom, the elders of the south, are of the opinion. Mechaprin, Kemis Kaprin. The Kohanim who create the atonement, the Mechaprin, they are like the Miskaprin. They are like the owners of the sacrifices who gain atonement. Ma Miskaprin, just like when it comes to the owners of sacrifices. Tamei Mason. If it's Tamei Mace, then we have the concept that it gets uprooted because it's the majority. So if most of the nation is Tamei Mace, then the law of Tamas Meis is uprooted, and we bring a sacrifice, even though they're Tamei Meis. If most of the people are Tamei Meis, we bring a Karban Pesach, even though they're Tamei Meis. They bring their Karbanos Pesach to Yerushalayim. They all enter the Beis HaMikdash, even though they are Tamei Meis. If the political powers would give us permission to go onto the Temple Mount and offer a Karban Pesach in our day, if we could solve a couple of problems, if we could solve the problem of the location of the altar, and if we could solve the problem of actually knowing who's a real Kohen, and if we could solve the problem of buying a Big Day Kahuna, it's possible that we could solve these problems, we could go offer sacrifices nowadays. It's so not a problem. We do not need Paraduma. Correct. You and I are not allowed to walk on the Temple Mount. We're Tamei Meis. We can't walk there. The answer is, since we're all Tamei Meis, and this is a communal sacrifice, Karban Pesach, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, the impurity is allowed because it's communal. So that's true about Tumas Meis, but Tumas Sheretz lo. But if all of us would have touched a dead mouse, then you couldn't allow us to walk up onto the Temple Mount. The impurity of a dead rodent does not get suspended by virtue of the majority. So that's true about the nation. So then, since that's true about the nation who owns the carbon, therefore, Ach Mechaprin, they make the same distinction in regards to the Kohanim who are bringing the carbon. Tamei Meis in. If an individual Kohen was Tamei Meis, then the carbon is accepted by the Eved because of the Tzitz. But Tamei Sheretz, but if the individual Kohen is impure with the impurity of touching a dead rodent, lo, then it's not accepted by the Eved. Now, is there a question? Yosef.
During the time of the Mishkan, when they had the Mizbeach, the period of time when there was Mizbeach all over the country.
Vamos.
Why did they allow that, and why wouldn't that be allowed today? As far as the
good question. It was allowed then because the Torah says, I think it's in Parshas Re'eh or Kiseitze, the Torah says, Ki lo vasem ad ata, for you have not arrived yet, el hamenucha, the el hanachala, to the resting spot and to the inheritance spot. So that's why you can bring sacrifices wherever you want, because you haven't yet arrived to the resting spot and the inheritance spot. The resting spot is Shiloh, and the inheritance spot is Harabayit in the Temple Mount. So once we had Shiloh, during Shiloh, we couldn't have sacrifices in the backyard. And after Shiloh, we could. But then once we get Nachala, once we get the inheritance, we again cannot offer sacrifices in the backyard. So since we got to the inheritance, we cannot offer sacrifices anymore in anybody's backyard.
So now we don't have
to either. Yeah, well, we do. Because according to the Rambam tells us that the Temple Mount still has its sanctity. It has its sanctity. That's why we can't walk up there for a Tamei Meis. It still has its sanctity. Yes, we don't have the temple, but we do have the sanctity, and therefore the laws that derive from the sanctity, not to offer sacrifices anywhere in a backyard, still apply.
Rabbi, weren't you contradicting what you just said? Because I don't understand it. One hand, you said if the commune is the Tamei
Meis,
we could do sacrifices.
Yeah.
But then he said, "Is the rat, you know, is a dead mouse we touch, and we, you know, the community touch that thing, that we cannot go there."
Then they couldn't.
What is the difference? I don't understand that.
Because we're saying that this permission, that the communities, the fact that it's widespread, suspends it, is only true about death impurity. But it's not true about rodent impurity. If the community has rodent impurity, they couldn't walk onto the Temple Mount.
That death was more...
it is more. But in regards to this law, the Gemara is suggesting there's a difference.
So it reverses.
So now the Gemara asks, I don't understand it. My Kasavri, what is the opinion of the elders of the South? If they believe that a man who has rodent impurity, because he touched a dead rodent, he can't send a sacrifice, the Kohanim will not slaughter on his behalf, they won't catch the blood on his behalf, they won't throw the blood on his behalf. So if that's the case, Amaylo Avdi Tzibur B'tumah, so then you have Baruch's question. Why would it be that if most of the nation has rodent impurity, we wouldn't let them into the temple to bring their sacrifices? Don't we have a rule, kol shebiyachid nitche, all those types of impurity that cause an individual to have to bring his korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, b'tzibur, abdi b'tumah. If that impurity exists with the majority, not just with an individual, we don't say that the whole nation has to go to Pesach Sheni. We say that the nation can bring it on Erev Pesach, and Tumah Hutcha B'Tzibur, the impurity is allowed because it's the community. So if you're going to tell me that an individual who is impure with the rodent impurity, he can't have a Kohen working for him, a Kohen can't slaughter an animal for him, that means that if he has it on, if he's just an individual with rodent impurity, we would push him to Pesach Sheni. So you can't have the Kohen do it for you now, so you'll wait for Pesach Sheni. So if we're going to push him to Pesach Sheni as an individual, then once it's a nation should also be able to do it. Because that's Baruch's point. It's a low level of impurity, so it certainly should be allowed. So Ella says the Gemara, Kasavi, the elders of the South, hold like this. Shochten v'zorkin al tamei sheretz. That if somebody has, as an individual, the rodent impurity, he can have a Kohen do the service for him. The Kohen does the service for him and it works for him. He can't walk into the temple, but the Kohen can do the service for him. So since the Kohen can do the service for him, he would not be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So if he's not pushed off to Pesach Sheni, if the whole nation has that status of rodent impurity, then the nation doesn't overrule the rule of Tumah, doesn't have the rule of Tumah Hutcha B'Tzibur. They can't walk into the temple to bring the sacrifices. They can send their sacrifices with people, with Kohanim who are pure. The Kohanim who are pure can bring them. So since they don't have the ability to walk into the temple while in a state of impurity, so therefore if a Kohen who is impure with rodent impurity does service, we're not going to say that the headband will make the service acceptable after the fact, because we don't have an example of that impurity being in the temple. We don't allow that impurity ever in the temple. So therefore the headband won't create a permissibility. But in regards to Tumas Meis, if an individual is tummy with Tumas Meis, he can't send his Karban Pesach into the temple. He can't do so. We tell him go to Pesach Sheni. If the nation is tummy with Tumas Meis, we allow them all into the temple. So you see that Tumas Meis we sometimes do allow into the temple. If the nation is tummy with Tumas Meis, so therefore if a Kohen is tummy with Tumas Meis, so then we say that after the fact, the sacrifice is accepted and it does not get rejected.
If a tummy person is tummy and carries the animal to Beit HaMikdash, doesn't it affect the animal it becomes tummy?
No, living creatures don't become tummy. Animals can't become tummy.
They will not.
No, okay. They don't become tummy. Okay. So now, this was the view of the elders of the South. Amar Ula. Ula said, Takahu Resh Lakish Lidramai. Resh Lakish was so angry, he started screaming about these southern elders. What are you talking about? V'chieza Koach Meruba. I don't understand. What are you doing? Who is more powerful? Koach Machaprim, the power of the priest to create atonement, or Koach Miskaprim, or the power of the owners of the sacrifice who gain atonement? Heavy Omer Koach Miskaprim, certainly the power of those who gain atonement is more powerful. Certainly more powerful, those who gain atonement. And because, as we're going to see in a second, as the Gemara is going to explain, if an individual is Tamei Sheretz, so he can send his Karban with a Kohen to offer it. However, a Kohen who is doing the service, If he's Tamei Sheretz, it's no good. That was the point of the elders of the South when the Mishnah says that a Kohen who's Tamei ruins the sacrifice. It means a Kohen who's Tamei with Tumas Sheretz, with the rodent impurity. So 1 second, Amar Ula. Ula said, "Taklu Rish Lakish Nidoramai." Rish Lakish started screaming at those of the South, "But he is a Koach Merubah. According to you, who's more powerful, Koach Mechaprin or Koach Miskaprin? The power of those who are gaining atonement, or the power of those who are creating the atonement? Heavy Omer Koach Miskaprin. You're saying the power is there with those who are gaining atonement, because they can, their sacrifice can work even when they are Tamei Sheretz, whereas the Kohen, what he does, doesn't work if he is Tamei Sheretz. So now we have a problem. You're saying that if the owners are Tamei with Tumas Sheretz, they can send their Karbanos. So Kohen Shenitma B'Sheretz, if you have a Kohen who became Tamei Sheretz, Eino Meratze, you're saying that what he does, he doesn't work. The sacrifice that he offered didn't work. So makom shenit mu bailin b'meis. So now let's take some logic. Let's say if the owners are tamei with tumas meis, shem shalchan karban osam, then they can't send their karban. Right? If somebody is tamei meis, not the nation, one individual is tamei meis, can he send the karban pesach? No. We say he has to go to pesach sheni. He has to wait till the 14th of Iyar. So here, where the owner is tamei with tumas meis, he can't send the karban. And yet you're saying Kohen Shenitma B'meis, a Kohen who's Tamei B'meis, you're saying that the carbon he does is okay. What do you mean it's okay? Kohen Shenitma B'meis, if a Kohen is Tamei B'meis, you know, Din Shein Maratza, certainly what he did, his service should be no good. If Tumas Sheretz makes the Kohen service no good, and Tumas Sheretz is not that severe, because Tumas Sheretz you can work around, you can send the carbon with somebody else, and yet Tumas Sheretz will ruin the Kohen service. So Tumas B'meis, where you can't send the carbon with somebody else, certainly that should ruin the Kohen's service. What are the elders of the South thinking? So the Gemara said like this, Kasavni Zipnei Darum. The elders of the South think that Tamei Meis Nami Mishaleach Karbanosav, that if someone is Tamei Meis on Erev Pesach, he can send his Karban with a Kohen. He doesn't have to do Pesach Sheni. He can send his Karban with a Kohen. The Kohen who's Tamei Meis, though, and if he did the service, it'll work with the Eved. What do you mean? So then why do you have Pesach Sheni? But see, the Torah says, Ish Yishki Yatame, if a man is Tame, Vasa Pesach Bachodesh Hasheni, he brings his carbon Pesach in the month of Iyar, in the 14th of Iyar. Why do you have Pesach Sheni? He doesn't need to go to the temple. Let him send it with somebody to give it to a Kohen, and the Kohen will bring it. What's going on here? What do you need Pesach Sheni for? The Gemara says, L'mitzvah. Pesach Sheni is just the ideal. Ideally, a person who's Tame shouldn't send his carbon up to the temple with a Kohen. He's Tamei. He should wait for Pesach Sheni. But if he does, it works.
What about the issue of eating it?
Next question. So the Gemara says, Vaksim, but the Pasuk says, Ish lefi achlo, that when you slaughter the sacrifice, the Pesach, it's per man, per his eating. You're slaughtering for the people eating. If somebody's Tamei Meis, they can't eat it. L'mitzvah. It's just ideally. L'chatchila, they should eat it. But if the Karban Pesach was brought for him, and he never ate it, it still works. And in fact, he doesn't even have to have the ability to eat it. He can't eat it right now. He's a Tamei. It still worked for him. You're telling me that a Karban Pesach, the owner of the Karban Pesach, doesn't eat the Karban Pesach because he's Tamei. He's impure. He's impure. He's on day 5 of his impurity. Tamei Meis, day 5. He can't eat. He's still, this is what the Gemara is suggesting. According to the elders of the South, he would still fulfill his mitzvah, because the Karban Pesach was brought for him. He can't eat it, but so what? That's only l'chatchila. It's only in the first instance. It's the best. The Gemara says, how can you say that? Uli kuvalo. Paul's question. You don't think it's an absolute requirement that when a Karban Pesach is slaughtered, it has to be slaughtered for people who are going to eat it, and they have to be able to eat it? V'atanya, the verse says, we learned in a braisa, the verse says, b'michsas nefashos. It'll be slaughtered for the number of souls. Melamed sheina Pesach nishchat el leminuyav. The Pesach has to be slaughtered for those who were counted in it, who brought it together. Shachto shel leminuyav. If you slaughtered for people who were not initially part of it, yachol yehei kover la mitzvah. Maybe it's just you didn't do the ideal. Tamalom. That's what the pasuk says. Tachosu. It repeats it again. Count them. Hakasuv Shanala, the pasuk repeats twice, you're slaughtering it for these people. La'akev, it has to be for these people. Now, v'iskash ochlin l'menuyin, the same way the carbon only works for those who were counted in it before, the carbon is only for those who can eat it. There's a hekesh, there's a comparison between ochlin and menuyin. It speaks about lefi achlo, you're slaughtering it for those who are eating. So somebody who can't eat, someone who's tamei, he can't be in the carbon. So the Gemara is like this. Ziknei darim lo makshi. The elders of the south don't have such a hekesh. They say you have to slaughter the carbon for those who are part of the carbon, but the carbon can work even for those who can't eat it. Yeah. The Gemara says, v'chi lo makshi nami. Even if they don't say that you have to have people who are able to eat it to be part of the carbon, still, meha nami islu pircha. But this very halacha creates a big problem. When you have a person, an owner of a carbon pesach, who had the dead rodent impurity, so we're saying that he can send his carbon. And then you say, though, but kohen shenitma b'sheretz, when the Mishnah says that a kohen tameh ruins a carbon, you're saying it's a kohen who has tumas sheretz, the dead rodent impurity. Kohen shenitma b'sheretz ein amaratzeh, makes the carbon ruined. So makam shenitmu b'ilam b'meis. So when you have the owner's tamei with tumas meis, you agree though, shein m'shalchem carbon asein l'chatchila, you agree that in the first instance you shouldn't send the carbon. Because in the first instance you should go to Pesach Sheni. L'mitzvah is Pesach Sheni. You agree in the first instance you shouldn't send the carbon. So tumas meis is worse than tumas sheretz. So kohen shenitmu b'meis. So if you have a kohen with tumas meis, edudin shein amaratzeh, certainly, good morning. Certainly, he's not meratzeh. Certainly, his service ruins it. If Tumas Sheretz's service ruins it, Tumas Meis' service certainly ruins it. So what the Ziknei Darim say doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And therefore, lahalacha, we don't accept Ziknei Darim. The Rambam says that a Kohen who's Tamei, who catches the blood, who walks the blood, who throws the blood, ruins the sacrifice, both if he's Tamei by touching a dead rodent, and if he's Tamei by touching a dead body.
Rabbi, even if everyone is tamei.
No, we're talking about a Kohen who's tamei.
Just a Kohen.
Kohen who's tamei.
But Rabbi, the question I have is like the people that they participate in the Korban, okay? So does that mean that, like, let's say 20 people, they put money together and buy an animal and then...
For the Korban Pesach, that's right.
For Korban Pesach. Now, if one of these 20 people is tamei, he cannot eat the Korban Pesach, only the other 19 could eat it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He cannot eat it.
Yeah.
He has to wait 7 days or whatever, you know, after that.
Yeah, and then he has to bring a second carbon in Pesach Sheni.
And Rabbi, going to the mikveh, isn't that the antidote for this problem? If you went to the mikveh before...
You still have to wait for the sun to set.
Okay, but...
Not pure until the sun sets.
Rabbi, with the sheretz...
Yeah.
What about the smicha? He has to do smicha.
It's not ma'akev. Not on a. You don't need to do smicha on a Pesach. On a chatas you do smicha, but not on a Pesach.
But if the kohen is tameh, he gets all the 20 people out of business, right, Rabbi?
That's right. He ruined it. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, let's go back a second, just to key, just bottom lines here. After all the back and forth, bottom lines. The Mishnah is listing 10 types of disqualifications of a kohen. A Kohen with these disqualifications, who does the service, ruins the sacrifice. A Kohen who doesn't have bris milah, a Kohen who just lost a relative, a Kohen who's wearing too many garments, a Kohen who's not wearing enough garments, he ruins the sacrifice. One of the things that the Mishnah has listed, that a Kohen who has the status ruins a sacrifice, is a Kohen who's tamei meis. There's one Kohen, he's tamei meis in the Beis HaMikdash. He shouldn't be there, he's there anyway. He does the service, he ruins the sacrifice. That's the Mishnah. So we had the Ziknei Darim. The elders of the south said, maybe not Tamei Meis. Maybe the Tamei that the Mishnah says ruins the sacrifice is Tamei Sheretz, but not Tamei Meis. Tamei Meis, because of the headband, ultimately it works. So we just had a whole back and forth. It doesn't seem like it works logically. La'alach, we don't accept it. But that's what they said. They said Tamei Sheretz ruins a sacrifice. Tamei Meis does not ruin a sacrifice. Meisve. So the people in the yeshiva challenged this idea of the elders of the south. This is from a Mishnah in Masechet Pesach.
What is south, Rabbi?
The Negev. That's south.
So I thought we were doing it by Beit HaMikdash or this thing. What is that to do with
this is where they lived. These rabbis lived there. One of them was Rav Eppes, Rabbi Eppes. He was one of the rabbis of the south. Rabbis from different places. All right, we have a Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim. The Mishnah says like this. Let's say somebody brings a Karban Pesach, 20 people, they bring a Karban Pesach, the Pesach is slaughtered, the blood is thrown onto the altar, and then they discover that the blood had been tummy. So the sacrifice is still accepted. The sacrifice is still accepted. However, if they throw the blood, or before they throw the blood, the person who's bringing the Karban Pesach, the person becomes tamei, then the sacrifice is not accepted. So the Mishnah wants to explain why. Says the Mishnah, Hipnei she'amru, because they have said, Nazir v'osa Pesach, a Nazir with his Karbanos, or someone bringing a Pesach, Hatzitz meratz el tumas dam, the headband which the Torah says, and Aaron will bear the sin of the sacred matters. That creates an acceptance after the fact for blood that was impure. But the headband does not create an acceptance after the fact for the person who is impure. Now, Bamai, what type of impurity does the person have? If you're talking about the impurity of a rodent, and we're saying that a person who has the impurity of the rodent, the tzitz, is not going to make his service acceptable after the fact. Ha, Marta, but the Gemara, you said, that a person who has tumas sheretz, we can offer sacrifices for him. We can offer sacrifices for him. Let him go to the mikvah, and we'll offer the sacrifice on his behalf. Ella, so what is it talking about? Tumas meis. We're talking about the impurity of death. The Katani and the Mishnah saying like this: Einatzitz meratze. That if the owner, the person, has tumas meis, the tzitz does not work for him. It does not make the impurity accepted after the fact. Alma, so you see, nitmu bailim b'meis, if the owners of a Karban Pesach become tamei meis, a mishalchan karban oseim, they can't send their karbanos, because the tzitz is not going to make it work after the fact. So they just have to bring Pesach sheni. So you see that the elders of the south are wrong. So Gemara says, no, that's not what's going on. Iditmu bailim b'meis achanami, if the owners of the Karban Pesach became tamei with tumas meis, maybe the tzitz would work for them. We're talking about here, where the Kohen becomes Tameh with the dead rodent, and that's why the tzitz didn't work for him. That's what the view of the elders of the south will be. If that's what the elders of the south are going to explain the Mishnah, that the Kohen became Tameh with the rodent, and that's why the tzitz doesn't work for him, Ema Sefer, what are you going to do at the end of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says there, Nitma b'tumasatahom. But if the person became tummy with the tumah of the deaths, it's a special halacha l'moshe miSinai, that even though we find out later that there was a tumah there, since at the time no one in the world knew about it, and it was a safek, it is tahar, the tumah of the deaths. So nitma b'tumah satahom, atzitz meratze. That's where the tzitz creates, it carries it. So listen, the guy couldn't have known. He couldn't have known. Nobody knew about this. Since nobody knew about it, the carbon is okay. The carbon's okay. So now, Vatani Reb Chiya, but Reb Chiya explained that Mishnah. Lo umru tumas atahom, ela lemeis bilvad. That tumas atahom was referring to tumas meis. Now, lemeis, if it's saying that it's talking about where there's a dead body deep in the depths that nobody knew about, lemute mai, what's it to exclude? It's to exclude the tumah of a dead rodent that nobody knows about. So you see that the tumah of the end of this Mishnah is talking about tumas meis. That means the tumah of the beginning of this Mishnah is talking about tumas meis. But you said that the beginning of the Mishnah is not talking about tumas meis. According to the Ziknei Zarim, it's talking about tumas sheretz. So you have a problem. So Gemara says, that's not what's going on here. The Mishnah is really talking about in the beginning, Tumah Sheretz. When it says that the tzitz does not work for Tumah of the person, it means it doesn't work for the Tumah of the person who has Tumah Sheretz, who is the Tumah of a rodent. Then when it says at the end about Tumah Satahom, it's not about Tumah Sheretz. It's not about Tumah Smeis, it's Lemute Tumah Satahom de Ziva. It's to say, when Reb Chiya said, Tumah Satahom is only Tumah Satahom of Mace, it doesn't mean it's not Tumah Satahom of Sheretz. It's not Tumah Satahom of a Safek. It's not the Tumah of, it's not a situation of a doubt of Tumah about a discharge from a person's body. So there we're more strict because it's something which comes out of the body. Since it comes out of the body, it's a Tumah Yotzes Megufo, we're more strict about it. But Tumah Sheretz, the Tumah of a rodent, that's from the outside, a Tumah from the outside. So there again, we're lenient. So Tumah Satahom of Sheretz and Tumah Satahom of Mace, there the tzitz would create atonement. And the Mishnah really is talking about Sheretz. It's not talking about Mace.
How do you have Tumah Satahom of a Ziva?
I guess in...
The person's right here.
The person must have been asleep. I don't know. Maybe he's in a hospital bed. There are all sorts of liquids coming out of him. Nobody can tell whether the urine is coming out or the gonorrhea is coming out, but it's where no one could have known. No one could have known, and then they do pathology and they find, really, there's gonorrhea in here. So it's like, no one could have known. It's a suffix.
That might be the impurity of gonorrhea and, let's say, other things, is that the same? Like peeing or whatever?
No, it's only gonorrhea. It's
only
not
gonorrhea.
But is it possible that one, the impact is physical, that let's say Sheretz has a physical impact, but the other one is a spiritual impact?
No, this is worse because it comes from outside of the body. It comes out of the body. That's worse. So now the Gemara says, the elders of the south explain that the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about... Tumas Sheretz of the Kohen. Velahad boy Rami Bar Chama. This the Rami Bar Chama had a question. Kohen amaratze bekarbonosehen. The Kohen who's bringing the sacrifices of the Nazir or the Pesach. Hutrelo tumas atahom. Olo hutrelo tumas atahom. Is for him the impurity of the depths permitted? Or is it not permitted? So if he has Tumah Satahom, do we say that the carbon is accepted, or do we say that this idea that Tumah Satahom gets accepted by the tzitz is only by the owner of the carbon having Tumah Satahom? So that question that Rami Bar Chama had, Tifsho to Tumah Satahom Hutrolo, that the Tumah of the depths is permitted for him. Because according to the elders of the south, this Mishnah is talking about a Kohen. And it's saying that Tumah Satahom is permitted. So Gemara says, yeah, Rami Bar Chama, Vade Pligi. But Rami Bar Chama wasn't sure about, he's against the elders of the south. That's right. He didn't understand the Mishnah in Psachim as talking about the Kohen who has the impurity. He understands it as the owner of the sacrifice having the impurity. But he's not like the elders of the south. That's right.
What is Tumah?
A Safik Tumah that we had no way of knowing it. No one ever knew about it. So now, says the Gemara, Tashma, come to your proof from a Braisa. The Braisa says that if they bring the Karban Pesach for an owner of the Karban, who is Tamei Meis, this Braisa says that the Karban will work for him because of the tzitz. Says the Braisa, the verse says about the tzitz, V'nasa Aron Savona Kadashim, and Aron, the Kohen Gadol, by wearing the headband, will carry the sin of the sacrifices, V'chieza Avonosei. What sin does he carry? Im avon pigul, if it's a sin of a wrong thought, let's say that even when the Kohen thought to eat the meat of the sacrifice in the wrong place, it's going to still be okay. Now, that's not true. Harei kvar nemar, the verse says about wrong thoughts, hamakiv oso lo yechashev lo, pigul yiyeh, doesn't work. It's not counted for him. Im avon nosar, if it's that it's going to work for a thought about eating it at the wrong time, also, the verse says, it's not accepted. So what sin does the tzitz carry? The sin, the tzitz carries the sin of tuma. That if someone is tamei meis, so really the sacrifice shouldn't be brought for him. But if it was, it'll still be accepted. Why is the sin of tuma less than other sins of karbanos? Because if the whole nation is tamei, and we allow them all into the temple, and we allow them to bring the sacrifices, so the law of impurity is a light law. It gets suspended when it's the whole nation. So since it's a light law, the tzitz also can carry it. So the Gemara now asks, my tuma, what type of impurity was referred to in this brisa that the tzitz carries? Ilema tuma sheretz, if you're going to say the impurity of touching a dead rodent, hechi ishtari, where do we see that if the majority of the nation touched a dead rodent, they can walk into the temple? Ela tumas meis, must be it's referring to the impurity of a dead body. So what's saying, what's it referring to? It's presumably referring to when the owners of the carbon were tummied by touching a dead body. Alma, so you see, nitmu bailam b'meis, if the owners of the carbon touched a dead body, nishalch and carbon oseim, if they send their carbon, the carbon works. The carbon works. Uvamai, now which carbon are we referring to? Ibn Nazir, if we're referring to a Nazir who's sending his carbon when he's tamei, the Torah says it can't be that way. Hashem says that when a Nazir becomes tamei, he can't bring his karbanos. He has to bring different karbanos. He brings the karbanos of a Nazir tamei. He has to wait. He has to redo the Nazirus. So that's not referring to here. Elosa Pesach. It's referring to someone who's sending a karban Pesach. So you see from the Braisa that if an individual was Tamei Meis and he sends his Karban Pesach, then after the fact, the Tzitz will make it accepted. Even though the Tzitz is not going to say that he could eat the Pesach, he can't eat it, but the Pesach worked for him. He doesn't have to bring a Pesach Sheini. So that seems to be a problem on Rami Bar Chama, who says that if an owner can't eat the Pesach, the Karban doesn't work for him. So Gemara says, no, la'olam, when we talk about the tzitz, maybe it is b'sheretz. Maybe when the tzitz makes the sin carried, it's referring to the sin of impurity of a dead rodent. Maybe impurity of a dead body, the tzitz does not carry it. The tzitz creates, it lifts the sin of the impurity of the dead rodent. So you say, one second, but when did we ever see that the impurity of a dead rodent gets permitted? It's true. The impurity of a dead rodent is not permitted when the majority of the nation is impure with the impurity of a dead rodent. When the majority of the nation is impure with the impurity of death, the impurity of death is permitted. So since you see that impurity sometimes gets permitted, that's why impurity of a rodent is also more lenient. Shame tuma ba'olam. Concept of impurity in the world sometimes gets permitted. So since it sometimes gets permitted, that's why the impurity of a dead rodent is going to be what the verse is referring to, that the tzitz is going to carry it. That was one version of this discussion. So now the Gemara has another version. V'ika d'dayek u'maisi hachi. Those who look at the pasuk and they actually bring a proof the other way. As a question on the elders of the south. The pasuk says, "Menas Aaron es avon hakadoshim." Aaron will carry the sins of the consecrated sacrifices. Avon hakadoshim in. So read the verse like this: the sins of the sacrifices. Avon makdishim lo. But not the sins of those who make the sacrifices holy. In other words, the tzitz will carry the sin of the blood becoming impure, but not that the owner of the carbon or even the kohen who is impure. So what type of impurity are we talking about? Maitzuma, which impurity are we talking about? Ilema toma sheretz, if we're saying that the verse is referring to impurity from a rodent and saying that the owner of a sacrifice or a kohen who has tumas rodent can't bring it, mishtariya betzibur. Is that an impurity of the community? Right, we never find that the community is permitted when there is tumas sheretz, Elalav tumas meis. It must be we're referring to the impurity of a dead body. And apparently, vavon kadashim in. What does the tzitz lift? It lifts the impurity of a dead body on the sacrifice. Avon makdishim lo. It doesn't lift the impurity of a dead body from the owner of the sacrifice. So now this is a problem on the elders of the south. Because what do the elders of the south say? That if a Kohen is impure with death impurity, the sacrifice is okay. It's only if he's impure with rodent impurity. But here we're saying that the tzitz only works to lift death impurity from the animal, but not to lift death impurity from the Kohen. So it's a problem on the elders of the south. So la'olam etum asheretz. You know, really the Braisa is referring to, the Mishnah, the Pasuk, is referring to rodent impurity. And it's saying if a Kohen is tummy with rodent impurity, the tzitz doesn't work for him. Because the tzitz only works for rodent impurity on the meat or the blood of the sacrifice. Why is the Braisa then referring to when it says that we're referring to impurity, we're not referring to other sins, because impurity is permitted somewhere. Where is rodent impurity ever permitted? Not that rodent impurity is ever permitted, but shame tumah ba'olam. Impurity is once permitted. And that's why we know that the tzitz that's carrying a sin is carrying the sin of impurity, because that's a lighter sin than other sins. Okay, now moving on to another disqualification. Another disqualification in the Mishnah is a Kohen who's sitting. Doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen needs to stand. So if the Kohen was sitting when he caught the blood, he ruins the sacrifice. You know, and how do we know this? That if a Kohen is sitting, he ruins the sacrifice. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav answered him, Rav Nachman, Amar Krah, the Pasuk says, Kivo b'char Hashem alokech m'kol shvatecha, for in him, the Kohen, God, your Lord, has chosen from all your tribes, la'amod l'shareis, to stand and to do service. La'amida b'chartiv, I have chosen him to stand for the service. V'lo l'yeshiva, he's not allowed to do the service while sitting. Sitting disqualifies the service. Tanar Abanu went in the Braisa. The verse says, la'amod l'shareis, he should stand to do the service. So that tells you mitzvah, that l'chatchila, at least ideally, he should stand. How do you know that even b'di'eved, even if it was done, it would be ruined if he was sitting? Kishu amrim, since the verse goes on to say, v'sheres p'shem Hashem alokav, k'chol ha'chav alavim, ha'omdim sham l'fnei Hashem, and he will serve in the name of God his Lord, like these brethren, the Levim, who are standing before God. So again, it says that the Kohen is standing. Shana l'vakasav, since the Torah repeats twice that the Kohen is to stand, la'akev, it means he must stand. And if he's not standing, he ruins the sacrifice. Amar le Raveler of Nachman. So Rav said, how far do you go with this idea that the Kohen needs to stand? Mekti, let's take a look. Yoshev Kizardam. You're saying that if he's sitting, he's like a non-Kohen. Umachal Avoda. It ruins the sacrifice. Ema. So then maybe you should say if he's like a non-Kohen. Mazar b'misa. If a non-Kohen does service in the temple, he deserves death. Af Yoshev b'misa. A Kohen who's sitting should deserve death. Alama Tani, but we went in a Braisa. The Braisa is like this. Acha, Avol. Avol Ariel, Onin Yoshev, a Kohen who doesn't have a Bismilu does service. A Kohen who lost a relative who does service. A Kohen who's sitting who does service. Ain't a Bemisa, they don't deserve death. Elabazar, they just have a prohibition. So why? If he's like a non Kohen, he should deserve death. Answer the Gemara, we have a rule. The rule is like this. So when you have a precedent, and the precedent is repeated, it means you can't learn from the precedent. Because if you'd only have it once, you could learn from it. Why does Hashem repeat it? It's to say only these two cases, nowhere else. That's called Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad. You have two psukim seemingly both teaching the same law. Eim Alamdin, you can't learn from them. So my answer is, Bisham Dahavi, because you have Mechusar Begadim, that if a Kohen does service without all the four garments, and Shlo Rochitz Yadayim V'Raglayim, a Kohen who does service without having washed his hands and feet. These are Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad. Both of these psukim are saying that if he does it, he deserves death. So two precedents, Chol Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad Eim Alamdin, you can't learn from them. So the Gemara says, 1 second. That means nothing else, if done, would deserve death. But Olamadam Malamdin, but according to the opinion, it says you could learn from two precedents. So then how do you know that a Kohen who's sitting and does the service does not deserve death? There's a third verse that says that a Kohen who's disqualified who does service deserves death. If a Kohen is disqualified with drinking wine, if he drank a cup of wine or a vias of wine and he does the service, he deserves death. The verse says, "V'loy musli," he shouldn't die, he shouldn't drink the wine. So since you have three sources, therefore, when you have three precedents that a disqualified Kohen, when he does the service, deserves death, it means that only in these three cases he deserves death, but not anywhere else.